Good afternoon, everyone. In the headlines on the update this Monday, the city of New York is now expanding a curfew to additional migrant shelters. Mayor Adams' administration is going to impose an 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew at 20 migrant shelters starting tonight, after initially placing the restrictions at 4 other locations. So we'll have the latest details. As schools across the country respond to a youth mental health crisis that was accelerated by the pandemic, many are confronting the thorny legal, ethical, and practical challenges of getting parents on board with treatment. It was definitely some overtime drama at the Super Bowl, but Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and the Kansas City Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Mahomes threw a 3-yard TD pass with 3 seconds left in overtime to beat the 49ers. Overseas, marathon world record holder Kelvin Kiptum, who is said to be a superstar of long-distance running, was killed along with his coach in a car crash in Kenya. And we all know that snack fever definitely sets in. Do you succumb to it or shake it off? See, shake it off because it's a tail. For those who can't seem to quit noshing on junk, experts say they have just the thing to break the cycle, a practice known as mindful eating. This is the update, Monday, February the 11th, 2024. Celebrating 6 years of telling New York's stories. From the Tommy Lynn stage at the Urban Dove Charter School in Brooklyn, New York, broadcasting across the nation and around the world, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A 3-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks. Every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Monday. It is the start of a brand new week for us together around here. Like I said off the top, I really do hope all of you did have a good weekend. This is what we call the calm before the storm. Because, let's be honest, it has not exactly snowed a lot, well, here in town. Elsewhere, they've gotten plenty of snow whenever it has. But the tide seems to be shifting just a bit. National Weather Service people, they've put out a winter storm watch for, you know, the city of New York, 5 boroughs. Because they're thinking we might get at least 4 to 8 inches out of this, potentially, if the storm shifts just a little bit to the south. I've been watching the forecast on TV, starting to get a better handle of it now. Because, you know, very quickly, they say if the storm moves close further out to sea, we won't get nothing. If it moves to the east, just slightly, it's all snow on the coast. And if it stays further inland where it is now, it's going to hug the coast, which would be a mixture of rain and snow. But, you know, we'll just have to see how tomorrow plays out, and there's another chance as we go into the weekend. Or next week is President's Week off for a lot of people, those who work in schools and such. By the way, we're going back, or at least I am, to a relatively tried and true practice on this program. You know, you'll see the difference as we move along. In the meantime, enough of the long-winded intro. I'm Brandon Julian, of course. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We are going to begin this Monday's proceedings with the migrant crisis ongoing in the city of New York. Now, where the city is expanding a curfew to additional migrant shelters. Mayor Adams' administration is going to impose an 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew at 20 migrant shelters starting tonight, after initially placing the restrictions at four other locations. The Daily News reports that the curfew impacts about 3,600 migrants. The city's traditional homeless shelters have long had such curfews. The 24 shelters now subject to the restrictions represent just a fraction of the more than 200 facilities currently housing some 66,000 migrants. The expanded curfew, of course, comes after a spate of violence attributed to migrant shelter residents has gained national attention in recent weeks, and we're going to talk about one of those said cases in just a moment. On to some of the other news of this Monday. And a man who was convicted in the killing of a rookie NYPD officer at the height of this city's crack epidemic decades ago has now been denied parole. Todd Scott had been serving 25 years to life for his role in the shooting death of Officer Edward Byrne while he guarded the home of a witness in a drug case back in February of 1988. A union representing police officers said yesterday that it was relieved, in quotes, to learn that Scott will remain in prison. The police union said it will continue to oppose the release of two others that were convicted in the shooting. Scott will appear again before the parole board next year. The 15-year-old has been accused of shooting a Brazilian tourist in the leg over in Times Square last week and then firing at a police officer is now being charged as an adult with two counts of attempted murder. The New York Daily News, they report that the teenager, identified by police as a resident of a migrant shelter in Manhattan who arrived here in New York from Venezuela late last year, was ordered held without bail over the weekend. He also faces assault and weapons possession charges, stemming from the shooting that began at a sporting goods store and spilled out of the streets of Midtown. As schools across this country, respond to a youth mental health crisis that was accelerated in many ways by the pandemic, many are confronting the thorny legal, ethical, and practical challenges of getting parents on board with treatment. The issue has become, of course, politicized, with some states looking to streamline access as conservative politicians elsewhere propose further restrictions, accusing schools of trying to indoctrinate students and cut out parents. Differing perspectives on mental health aren't new, of course, for parents, kids, but more conflicts are emerging as young people are getting more comfortable talking openly about mental health and treatment as it becomes more readily available. PepsiCo, they got a bump in fourth quarter profits thanks in part to lower charges and continued price hikes, but higher prices have hit sales. The food and drinks company said on Friday that they expect organic revenue growth of at least 4% this year. That is less than half of the 9.5% growth that PepsiCo booked last year. The company's stock closed down Friday, a little over 3.5%, even as the company announced a 7% boost to its annual dividend and said that it would buy back about $1 billion of its shares. Meanwhile, the man accused of stalking Taylor Swift after being spotted multiple times outside the singer's Manhattan townhouse was found unfit to stand trial and will be committed to state custody for psychiatric treatment. 33-year-old David Crowe was arrested 3 times late last month in front of the pop star's home in the Tribeca section, of course, in Manhattan. Prosecutors say the case against Crowe was dismissed after a psychiatric exam. He'll be committed to the custody of the Office of Mental Health to receive treatment. Crowe's lawyer said that she was pleased because her client needs treatment and not jail time. In other news, we're going to go out west to Buffalo, where a federal lawsuit is accusing National Guard members of sexually exploiting migrants at an area hotel there where they are being housed while waiting asylum hearings. The lawsuit filed here in the city names at least 6 New York National Guard members who were assigned to the hotel, along with several employees of the company DocGo, which is the contractor hired by the city of New York to oversee the migrants' needs. It was brought by several asylum seekers and employees that were hired to work at the hotel. A National Guard spokesman did not respond to a request for comment. A statement from DocGo said that it is committed to ensuring the well-being of those in its care. And finally, let's talk Decision 2024, 9 months away now from the general election. And the question on some people's minds is, how will the suburbs vote this year? Well, the special election here next week is going to offer some clues, possibly. The race for the congressional seat, once held by one George Santos, is shaping up to be a bellwether in the fight for control of the House, as candidates are testing the political messages that their parties hope will appeal to suburban voters in the fall. This election is going to pit Democrat Tom Suozzi, former congressman, against Republican Mozzie Philip, a little-known county lawmaker, in a race for a district in Queens and Long Island that became vacant, of course, after Santos was expelled from the House late last year. Time for us folks to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Monday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and the thrilling Super Bowl 58. You know, personally speaking, I said I was not really going to care all that much about the game, and yet I was on the edge of my seat right till the very end. Also going to talk about Nickelodeon. They were broadcasting the Super Bowl, but it was a Bikini Bottom version. That probably needs a little bit of context, and it will. In Houston, police say that a woman in a trench coat opened fire with a long gun inside of celebrity pastor Joel Osteen's Texas megachurch before being gunned down by 2 off-duty officers who confronted her. And at the end of the broadcast today, snack fever, we all know it sets in, but the question is, do you succumb or just shake it off? See what we did there? Because that's a tale. For those who can't seem to quit noshing on the junk, experts say they have just the thing to break the cycle, a practice known as mindful eating. Gonna talk about this and a lot more, too, of course, folks, when the update of Brian and Julian returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy. But I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is The Update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, it's a big holiday tradition, you know, it's the fruitcake. I love all the holiday traditions, as Jim Gaffigan once said. You know, like the Christmas tree. My birthday is right next to Christmas. Christmas tree, you know, we go chop a tree, we go put it in our living room. Sometimes I think that's the creation of a drunk man, really. Some woman wakes up, honey, why is there a pine tree in our living room? I like it. We're gonna decorate it for Jesus. And then I'm gonna hang my socks over the fireplace. Fill them with candy. Maybe I can tie some leaves to a ceiling, see if I can get some action. And now I'm gonna puke on this couch. Merry Christmas. This is The Update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through the first half of 2024, F trains will run on the E line at all times in both directions between Rockefeller Center and Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue because of track replacement along the 63rd Street line. On weekdays, M trains will not run between Rockefeller Center and Forest Hill 71st Avenue. Trains will run between 57th Street on the F line and Metropolitan Avenue. A special F shuttle train will run every 20 minutes between Lexington Avenue, 63rd Street, and 21st Street, Queensbridge, stopping at Roosevelt Island. The shuttle train will not run overnight. Free shuttle buses will run between 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza on days and evenings, and between Roosevelt Island, 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza overnight. Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z
trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited, until March 30th. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So, yes, there was this thing, I think so, called the Super Bowl 58 between the Chiefs and the 49ers. Essentially a rematch of 2020, you know, before the COVID time. And we will talk about that momentarily, but there was other stuff that did happen over the weekend, you know. Former Mets GM Billy Epler was suspended through the World Series this year by Commissioner Rob Manfred, who concluded that he and other team employees fabricated injuries to create open roster spots. No Mets medical or athletic training personnel were mentioned in the announcement by MLB. Manfred said in a statement that Epler directed, quote, the deliberate fabrication of injuries and the associated submission of documentation for the purposes of securing multiple improper injured list placements during the 2022 and 2023 seasons. Of course, we all know Epler resigned when David Stearns came on board. Continuing with the baseball offseason news, Corey Kluber, a two-time Cy Young Award winner for the then-named Cleveland Indians, who pitched a no-hitter for the New York Yankees in 2021, announced his retirement after 13 major league seasons. The 37-year-old right-hander, nicknamed Klubot for his robot-like demeanor, was 3-6 with a 7.04 ERA in 9 starts and 6 relief outings, appearances for Boston, the Red Sox, last year. For his career, Kluber was 116-77 with a 3.44 ERA. The three-time All-Star pitched 18 complete games, including 8 shutouts. He won Cy Young Awards with Cleveland in 14, and also in 17, going 98-58 with a 3.16 ERA over 9 seasons. Now, from the diamond, let's go over to the gridiron for the season finale of football. I said internally to my brother before the game started that this was a game that I personally did not really care about. And yet I ended up on the edge of my seat right till the very end. Because it took overtime, but Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and the Kansas City Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions.
Mahomes threw a 3-yard TD pass to Mecole Hardman with 3 seconds left in overtime, and the Chiefs rallied to beat the Niners 25-22 in the second overtime game in Super Bowl history, becoming the first repeat champs in 19 years and the 9th overall. The Patriots were the last ones to do it in 03 and 04. Pop star Taylor Swift, watching boyfriend Travis Kelce from Suite, the Chiefs captured their 3rd Super Bowl title in 5 years and firmly established themselves as a dynasty. Oh, it's gonna be good. You know, speaking of the Super Bowl, the halftime show. Usher, of course, he emerged from Allegiant Stadium for the Super Bowl halftime show this year. And the immediate confirmation of his position as the ideal halftime performer, one with timeless and well-known hits, masterful choreography, and a devoted audience. He started with Caught Up, moving into You Don't Have to Call, Superstar, and Love in the Club. Then, of course, Alicia Keys joined in front of a bright red piano for her song, If I Ain't Got You, which morphed into My Boo. Usher then used Losing a Glove in an apparent tribute to Michael Jackson, notable, of course, for a performance during Black History Month. He told the crowd, quote, "They said I wouldn't make it," dedicating the set to his mama. So, mama's in quotes here, so take that how you will. Now, folks, when we return on the update this Monday, I'm going to briefly talk about Nickelodeon. They had their own separate broadcast of the Super Bowl, which is, again, is a sentence that needs about a couple minutes worth of context. So we will. In Washington, as a growing number of Republicans are opposing U.S. aid to Ukraine, the Senate's leaders, they were arguing in strong terms that the money is crucial to pushing back against Russian President Putin and maintaining America's global standing. And at the end of the broadcast today, for those who can't seem to quit snacking on junk, experts say they have just the thing to break the cycle, a practice known as mindful eating. Gonna talk about this, folks, a lot more too, of course. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Well, maybe I actually did. Time continues to move forward, of course, but it's always nice to look back on the past. It helps us grow as people. Plus, you know, you always have those moments where you're like, oh yeah, I remember that from way back when. Well, that's what we have for you on the update every weekend. And in our new series, where I look back at my favorite episodes from throughout the many years of this program. I've always said over the years that my producers, they love an excuse to have a party. Every weekend, we're going to go into the update vault and play you some episodes from throughout the many years of this program. And in my new special series, where I look back at my favorite episodes from throughout the many years of this show, once a month, I'll play a select episode from that list. I have a whole list of favorite episodes, and we'll play that for you. It's a big party, of course, and you and your friends are all invited. And if you don't know we're having a big party, you will after you hear this soundbite declaring that we are having a big party. So, every weekend, we'll go look out for the update vaults, play some of our episodes from throughout the many years of this show, and of course also once a month, look out for the list of my favorite episodes from throughout the years. Keep listening, of course, folks, because it'll be a party that you personally will never forget, unless you can't remember that party from, you know, the night before.
Now, of course, the update of Rand and Julian will be right back after these messages. And isn't this exciting, folks? Wow. Oh, don't laugh. Good, I'll notice, but some of you didn't. But that actually is pretty darn good. My producers are getting better. Last year, for a surprise, they left me a 4th of July wiener. I found it on the inside of the couch. All right, it is my duty now to send you back to the remainder of this program. So go. Go there now.
Brandon Julian. You know, Valentine's Day coming up, we surprise the ones we love with those big red hearts, you know, filled with the gamble chocolate. Think about it. Has anybody ever eaten any chocolate of those with any confidence? You're like, oh, this is either going to be really good or horribly nasty. Guess I'm just big enough to find out. Oh, I got the one filled with toothpaste. Gonna take another 9 of those to get rid of that flavor. You know, there's a big red heart filled with the gamble chocolate, otherwise there's the tiny heart-shaped antacids. I know I make you nauseous. Here's a Tums with Hug Me written on it. You know, maybe that'll help. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at 2 major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From New York, home of your NCAA men's champion UConn Huskies, this is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you're listening to podcasts. Indeed it is, folks. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Monday, everyone. Start of a brand new week for us together around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. Yeah, I had literally have to pull this up on my computer for just a minute. Because, in case you didn't know, like we just said, the Super Bowl aired last night. But for those who don't know, there were two different broadcasts. You had the traditional broadcast, of course, on CBS, with, you know, Jim Nance, Tony Romo, the whole NFL Today gang, and all that stuff. But the Super Bowl was broadcast today on Nickelodeon. Yeah, it was broadcast on Nickelodeon last year. Not last year, good lord. It was broadcast on Nickelodeon this year at 6:30 in the afternoon. And it was going to be broadcast from Bikini Bottom. Yes, that is a phrase that I'm saying that's going to need to cut at least a minute or two more worth of context. So, Nickelodeon was airing the broadcast of the Super Bowl. It kicked off, of course, at 6:30 when when the game would traditionally kick off on CBS. So the people in the broadcast booth, for the game, on the Nickelodeon broadcast was, Noah Eagle, son of the announcer, of course, Ian Eagle, and Nate Burleson from CBS Mornings. And they were also joined at play-by-play in the booth by Patrick and SpongeBob. Yes, you heard me correctly. The sideline reporter was Sandy Cheeks. And what really got me, and I was actually very curious to see how this game was going to turn out, the rules expert was Dora the Explorer. I remember, because I was sitting in the living room with my brother watching this, and I just remember when Dora first came on screen to explain something. I forget what rule she actually explained. But I remember just getting up and just being like, I'm done. You know, personally, I expected the whole thing to just be a frickin' train wreck. And yet, it wasn't, it was not the worst thing I've ever seen. And I think it was stupid, yes. It was stupid, but it was brilliant at the same time. I mean, compared to other things, other kids' things I've seen on TV, like Teen Titans Go is terrible. I think I can objectively say that. Teen Titans Go is bad enough. It made this broadcast look like a fucking Michelangelo painting. That's how it is in comparison. So that's essentially it. There was nothing else I really wanted to say to that, but literally, people were so obsessed. Were so obsessed with watching this. Like, one person people were saying on X, formerly known as Twitter, one person tweeted, "Ha ha, this is hilarious." A second person replied, which was exactly what I was saying, what in the world am I watching? A third said, "Need to have Nickelodeon and SpongeBob do some regular season games next year." However, not everybody was convinced. My brother, I know for sure, did not like how SpongeBob looked compared to the other cartoon versions we've seen of him. One person wrote, "Ugliest SpongeBob model I've ever seen." They were actually right. Larry the Lobster also did some commentary. Dora and Boots. I gotta forget about Boots. They were on hand to also explain the penalties. And also, young Dylan and Dylan Schefter were also reporting on the sidelines. Oh my gosh. Okay. This was a whole thing that needed a couple of minutes worth of context. Because if you saw the game live, you will actually know what I'm talking about. If you don't, go see if you can find it on YouTube. It's literally worth a peek. I can't. I don't have a transition for this either, so I will just say that national news, it is next for us around here, of course, when the update of Brandon Julian continues. Brandon Julian. You know, folks, if you really do think about it, in this day and age, it's a good thing that we can't report people that we don't like to 911 or the police. Could you imagine how that call would go?
Yeah, it'd be like 911, what's your emergency? Yeah, that Lady Carol is at the barbecue again. This is the update with Brand and Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never would just want to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, folks, if I were to do something, if I would accidentally combine something, most people would consider it a mistake. But other people actually do these things on purpose. You know what that's called? Criminal intent. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Monday, everyone. Start of a brand new week for us together around here in the calm before the actual storm tomorrow morning. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. It's just a matter of how much snow we're actually going to get. I might actually have to dig out the snow boots and actually wear them. Let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we're going to begin down in the state of Texas, near Houston, Texas. Police there say that a woman in a trench coat opened fire with a long gun inside a celebrity pastor Joel Osteen's Texas megachurch before being gunned down by two off-duty officers who confronted her. The afternoon shooting at the church sent worshippers scrambling out of the building between busy Sunday services. Authorities say the woman was dead and a 5-year-old boy with her was critically wounded by gunfire. They also say a 57-year-old man was wounded. Houston Police Chief Troy Finner praised the officers for their quick actions. Osteen says the shooting could have been much worse if it had happened during the larger 11 a.m. service. In other news, we're going to go to Washington, where as a growing number of Republicans are opposing U.S. aid to Ukraine, the Senate's leaders are arguing in strong terms now that the money is crucial to pushing back against Russian President Putin and maintaining America's global standing. During a rare weekend session, senators yesterday voted again to move forward with the over $95 billion package in aid for Ukraine, Israel, and other countries. The vote came after Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Republican Leader Mitch McConnell issued stark warnings yesterday about the consequences of abandoning longtime U.S. allies in Europe. Meantime, the former president is trying to kill the assistance and has escalated his attack on the NATO military alliance. Down in Wilmington in Delaware, First Lady Jill Biden says that she doesn't know what a special counsel was trying to achieve when he suggested that the president could not remember when his oldest son died. She has addressed the issue in an email over the weekend to campaign donors in an emphatic defense of her husband.
Biden's team is working to alleviate Democratic concerns over the special counsel's alarms about the president's age and memory. Special counsel Robert Herz's remarks were in a report that concluded that Biden would not be charged with any criminal activity for possessing classified documents after he left office. And overseas in Nairobi in Kenya, the marathon world record holder Kelvin Kiptum, who was said to be a superstar of long-distance running, was killed along with his coach in a car crash there. Kiptum was only 24 years old and had the world record, that he set last year at the Chicago Marathon that was ratified by the International Track Federation World Athletics just last week. Kiptum, who was Kenyan, and his Rwandan coach, Gervais Hakizamna, were killed in the crash at around 11 o'clock at night. Another Kenyan athlete, Mikaela Kemos, confirmed their deaths to the Associated Press. She was at the hospital mortuary where the bodies were taken and had seen Kiptum's body, she said. There is more national news for us to discuss, and we will address those, of course, when the update of Brandon Julian returns in just 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/timetotalk, a message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Update Brandon Julian on a Monday, everyone. Start of a brand new week for us together around here. Thank you so much, of course, for still being here with us in the metaphorical calm before the storm. We're talking together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we're going to go back to Washington, where Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has now been hospitalized again, following symptoms pointing to an emergent bladder issue, in quotes. In a statement, the Pentagon said that Austin was transported by his security Walter Reed National Military Medical Center at around 2:20 yesterday afternoon. Austin has now transferred authorities to Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks and remains in the hospital. Austin was diagnosed with prostate cancer back in December and continues to deal with complications from his treatment. In other news, we're going to go out to the American West in Los Angeles, where Beyoncé is back with two country tracks. That almost kind of rhymes. Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages. After that Verizon commercial starring Beyoncé aired during the Super Bowl with the superstar saying, "They ready, drop the new music," the question became, was she serious? Well, later, a cryptic Instagram video of country iconography appeared on her page, teasing Act 2 on March 29th. Beyoncé's 2022 album Renaissance is frequently referred to as Act 1 Renaissance. The two new country songs dropped, Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages. I believe one of the lyrics goes, "This ain't Texas, ain't no Hold'em, so lay your cards down, down, down." She sings in a southern twang on the first.
Thank God for that.
Continuing with music, Mary J. Blige, Mariah Carey, Cher, Lenny Kravitz, and the late Sinead O'Connor are just some of the nominees for this year into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Nods also went to Sade, Oasis, and Ozzy Osbourne, who led many parents in the 80s to clutch their pearls with his devil imagery and sludgy music. Nominations were also handed to hip-hop duo Eric B. and Rakim, soft rockers Foreigner, singer-guitarist Peter Frampton, alt-rockers Jane's Addiction and Dave Matthews Band, and also dance icons Kool and the Gang. Nominees will be voted on by more than 1,000 artists, historians, and music industry professionals. And finally, if you weren't interested in the Super Bowl, some people decided to go to the box office over the weekend. Lisa Frankenstein was the top movie that came out, but, it wasn't very good. The horror comedy only earned nearly $4 million, according to the studio estimates. It debuted in second place on a very slow Super Bowl weekend behind the spy thriller Argylle. Matthew Vaughn's Argylle got first place with only $6.5 million, bringing its running domestic total to nearly $29 million in two weekends. The $200 million production is Apple's first major theatrical flop. The Beekeeper landed in third, while the faith-based The Chosen landed in fourth, and Wonka rounded out the top five. Of course, many people do some snacking around this time. And what do you do, remember, when you have snack fever? Do you succumb, or you shake it off? See, shake it off, that's a Taylor Swift. For those who can't seem to quit noshing on the junk, experts say they have just the thing to break the cycle, a practice known as mindful eating. Yes, this is, you might, this first time hearing me say this in a while, because I told you we kind of reshaped everything. Your honorable mention is next, when the update Brain of Julian returns in just 60 seconds.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
From New York, the V stands for value. This is the update with Brandon Julia, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a month. Start of a brand new week for us together around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know it's been a while, because I'm about to utter a phrase that I don't think I've said since the radio days, WKRB. But yes, and I think this was the best version of the show in this format, the way that it is. But, you know, we have just enough time left today, of course, for your honorable mention. And yes, we know these days
that, like most people did last night, people snacked as the Super Bowl went on. But when that snack fever sets in, do you succumb to the... Get it? That's a Taylor Swift riff. For those who can't seem to quit noshing on the junk, the experts say they have just the thing to break the cycle. A practice known as mindful eating. Judson Brewer, a psychiatrist, a neuroscientist, and director of research and innovation at Brown University's Mindfulness Center, is a pro on the budgeting subject. He shared his simple tricks to curb the cravings. First up, if you are struggling with control, Brewer said it's possible to conquer habitual or binge eating instead of learning to listen to your body's cues. Excuse me, of course we all know that binge eating is the habit of devouring a large amount of food in a short amount of time when you feel you can't control what or how much you are eating. It's the most common eating disorder in this country, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. And while it may not develop into an eating disorder for everyone, many people have episodes of binge eating or loss of control eating. Brewer says that it's not about having enough willpower to say no, but rather about getting in tune with what your body... But rather... Try that again, God. Brewer said that it's not about having enough willpower to say no, but rather about getting in tune with your body and what it needs, and its needs. Brewer told the Washington Post, quote, "From a neuroscience standpoint, willpower is not even part of the equation when it comes to behavior change. The knowing is not enough because that's not where the behavior change happens. The feeling is where behavior change happens, and so we have to actually get reacquainted with, I should say, reconnected with, our bodies and then start listening to them." Mindfulness is a mental state reached by focusing on the present moment while calmly acknowledging and accepting one's feelings, thoughts, and bodily sensations, including food cravings. Brewer says that you should start with the why. Why am I reaching for food? Am I actually hungry or is it something else? And if it's not hungry, it's indicating some type of habit that we can then delve into. He says also, while the science behind the concept, the science behind the concept of mindful eating remains limited, Brewer claims to have seen the results within himself and also his patients. The expert called the practice a better approach than restrictive diets, and it provides people with the tools they need to conquer cravings and end unhealthy habits. To begin mindful eating, Brewer suggests these three simple steps. First, map out your eating patterns in habit loops. Change the reward value of eating behavior in our brains, and discover more rewarding behaviors that make the body feel content. Says Brewer, brains are prediction machines. He goes on to explain that when we feel bad, the brain often reminds us that eating can feel good, even if only temporarily, which drives us to reach for, say, a pint of ice cream. Especially, you know, for women who have those pregnancy cravings. This is not scientifically proven, what I just said, by the way. Just in case those people want to come, they come for me. You know, it reminds me of stuff I've said in the past on this program. Just briefly switching the topic to ice cream. Like, a couple weeks ago, I was eating a tub of ice cream because I'm an American, right? I wanted to show the world I wasn't a quitter, everyone. And it was also helping the environment. I helped by not throwing away the lid afterwards. You're welcome. Of course, we eat ice cream at night. You ever eat ice cream during the day? You're like, whoa, we're 6 years old. Did we just get our tonsils out? Why are there people around me? Shouldn't I be away at home watching Lifetime or something? Those waters people, they're the ones with the problems, all right. But anyway, to stop this cycle, Brewer writes, noting why you're eating, how you feel after binge eating junk food, and discovering healthier alternatives to comfort or reward yourself. Brewer claims that, quote, it only takes 10 to 15 times of doing that for us to build up enough of a database to remember that the next time. After being disenchanted, I couldn't spell for a second, after being disenchanted with a certain food or pattern of behavior, the brain is ready for change. So, you know, try this out and see if it works for you. Kind of feels like those things that say, ask your doctor if this treatment is right for you. I'm going to let you guys ponder on this, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite. That's the way it is. Monday, February the 12th, 2024. As the update on a Monday, I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. And as I say in my daily dictum now, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, it will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. And most important, folks, please be well. It's been a while since I've done this show. I know I'm used to doing it consistently, but I feel inspired lately, and we're going to find a way. And, honey, I'm bringing home last season's studio equipment, so, you know, feel free to tell your parents we don't have to sleep on the lawn furniture anymore. This apparent snowstorm, it's big enough that actually all the schools are closed. Yeah, that actually happened. Kind of surprised me, too. So, dare I say, we're going to be from home, which is hardly for me, in the midst of a snowstorm. Let's talk about that a lot more, too, of course, folks, when I see all of you, hopefully, safe indoors, right back here tomorrow. See you then.